talking about a home. From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Of prayer, they did not ask what brought him there. He was not friend, he was not kin, but they opened the door and let him in. And for an hour the stranger stayed. He sat with them and seemed to pray. But then the young man drew a gun and killed 9 people, old and young. In Charleston, in the month of June, the mourners gathered in a The president came to speak some words, and the cameras rolled, and the nation heard. But no words could say what must be said for all the living and the dead. So on that day and in that place, the president said, Amazing grace. The president sang Amazing Grace.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and that was Zoe Mulford with The President Sang Amazing Grace, and we play that in recognition of the 4th anniversary of the Charleston church shooting, which took place 4 years ago this Monday. And I urge you to pick up the new book by Jennifer Barry Hawes, a reporter with the Post and Courier, Pulitzer Prize winner. Her book is called Grace Will Lead Us Home: The Charleston Church Massacre and the Heart-Inspiring Journey to Forgiveness. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Today's radio show is being hosted by interior designer Judy Bistany, with Judy Bistany Interior Design. And now we're talking with Judy Bistany. How are you, Judy?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thank you.
Judy, take a moment and tell everyone about Judy Bistany Interior Design.
I'm a full-service interior design company. We've been around since 1975 in multiple locations. Work up and down the East Coast from New York to Florida, lots of places in between. Mostly residential, but sometimes executive office and commercial work as well. Mm-hmm. Specializing, one of the areas that we specialize in is architectural collaboration, renovation design, and working with builders and architects.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What does an interior designer bring to the table when it comes to working with architects and builders?
Endless possibilities. Mm-hmm. The ability to synthesize a project, to get into the nuts and bolts of it, to see what should be included, what should be eliminated, simplifying the project, making sure that all the essential elements are included, and that the homeowner or the client, whether it's a commercial client, gets exactly what is personal to them and what works for their lifestyle, their working style, etc.
I've always heard that interior designers say that they want to be involved as early as possible, and that sometimes they will discover maybe an issue with where a door or a window is positioned, and an interior designer is able to look at that set of plans and realize that there may be a conflict or something like that. Have you ever helped out in that way?
Well, you have to remember that changing things on paper is a whole lot easier than removing things that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely true. The sooner that we're brought into a project, the earlier we can look at plans, whether they're in development stages or they're in finalized stages. Moving around just the tiniest little thing on paper can just make the biggest difference. A designer's perspective is always a great input because we see things spatially and furniture-wise and lifestyle-wise that sometimes builders and architects can miss.
Mm-hmm. What is it about the feel that someone gets when they enter a room? And sometimes they feel the room feels sort of claustrophobic or small. It may not be something that kind of like comes right to the top of your mind and where you're able to speak it, but there's that feeling that people get, and if it's a bad feeling, that's usually because there's been some bad design involved.
Well, design is a feeling. Everything about design, particularly interior design, is a feeling. And that's always the goal that you want to create, is what is it that you want it to feel like? What I want it to feel like is great, delicious, wonderful. I want it to feel good from the get-go. I want that to be the first impression. Afterwards is the discovery of why you feel that way. And sometimes those details emerge over and over and over again the more you revisit a space or live in a space. But that's what makes it so very special. That's what gives it great, great depth and longevity.
What does that mean when you say great depth and longevity?
Well, it's more than just a photo-worthy concept. It's something that lives, breathes, works, reflects personalities, reflects lifestyles, reflects history. It's all about something that is a bigger thing than just a photo-worthy picture.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just about making a room or a house look pretty and magazine-worthy, but also the space where people are living and working in it on a daily basis and feeling good about that.
Absolutely. I often use the concept of if you walk into a room or into a space where you live and you put your coat on the side of the sofa, you don't want the room to fall apart because of it. You want your lifestyle and everything you do within that space to be complementary and work well with the design that you've created, which is literally exactly why I use the trademarked tagline, creating a backdrop for living, because mm-hmm. that's what it is.
You know, I would say anyone who has worked with an interior designer in the past, they know the value. They've experienced the value that an interior designer can bring to a project, but there's many, many others that have never worked with an interior designer, and they don't know what they're missing. What would you say that they may be missing?
I would say that's fear directed. People are afraid that it's going to be very, very expensive. They are afraid that they will be matched up with the wrong designer. All of those things are easily solved. Finding the right designer is not as hard as one might think. Using as a designer is the most inexpensive way to go because mistakes are the most expensive part of any project. So if you're doing it on your own because you're trying to save money, it's like a client told me once recently. She said, "You have no idea how much money I wasted trying to save money before I met you."
Mm-hmm. Right. And What would she was making some purchases on her own that
she was
just
making
didn't work?
Thousands of purchases, and it was all a tried and true kind of thing. I'll try this, it doesn't work, I'll throw it out and try something else. And it was a constant process of trying to get it right without any real direction. Mm-hmm. And a designer gives you direction. A designer, part of my job as a designer is to get to know my client and to be able to assess from the get-go what's right for my client and also what's wrong for them. So using a designer is a very, very economical thing to do, because in the long run, it's going to last so much longer. You're going to enjoy it so much more. What you spend up front is going to last for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then you want a project that you can add and subtract to, because you've built great bones into it. Again, you're creating that backdrop for living. And as we live and we breathe, we have tastes that change. But we have, you know, those basics of good design should always be there to be mm-hmm. built on.
You know, I've oftentimes talked to interior designers, and I've said that it working with an interior designer can be habit forming, because you start to rely on that interior designer for all of the decisions, because you don't want to make a wrong decision that is going to be costly. And when it comes to building a house or remodeling a house, as you lead up to that project and you're immersed in that project, we call it house fever, where that homeowner, that's all they're thinking about day and night, what they're thinking about is solutions to a problem that they have. And that problem is, you know, what am I going to do in this kitchen, or what am I going to do with, how am I going to make this next selection, or things like that. And once the project is done, oftentimes they kind of hit a plateau. They don't have that house fever as much anymore. They're enjoying their house until another project pops up. But if you know, for all that time that you're spending on a project and all that money that you're investing in it, it really is kind of foolish not to work with a professional. I think before we started our interview, you said you always get better results working with a professional, no matter what that is. If it's you're getting your hair cut, or going to the dentist, or what have you.
Well, trust is the operative word. And being able to relax in a relationship because there's trust is a really, really great thing. So when you work with a professional who you trust, that doesn't mean that professional is making all the decisions for you. That means that professional is guiding you in the right direction for you. And being able to trust that, it's just like going to get your hair cut. You either sit there and you're worried every second that the stylist is going to do the right thing, wrong thing, or you sit and you relax and you get a happy, wonderful result every time, because it's built on a trust relationship. And a trusting relationship is built on getting to know one another and understanding one another. So once you do that, it's really a great thing. If you're not having fun when you're doing a design project, you are either not working with the right professional, or you're out there doing it on your own, and you're not trusting yourself either.
Well, you know, let's say you decide to take a road trip, and you're going cross country or something. There's a lot of possibilities where you can take a wrong turn and versus staying on track. And I think that's kind of the same kind of analogy as it relates to working with an interior designer. Is it expensive? You mentioned it's not expensive, but I think that's maybe something that's holding people back from reaching out and talking to interior designers.
Well, everything you do design-wise, even painting the walls, is expensive. That's why it's important to get it right. But if you think about buying a sweater that you pay $100 for and you keep for 15 years and you wear it 200 times, the cost of that $100 sweater goes down exponentially. If you go out and you buy a $25 sweater and you wear it once and then you throw it away, the cost of that sweater goes up exponentially. So if you're buying quality, that lasts, over the years, you have saved an awful lot of money. I do want to talk, you mentioned taking a wrong road, and I want to say something about mistakes in quotation marks, because sometimes in design projects, by means of factors that sometimes we don't have any control over, for instance, I had an incident recently with a client where we picked a stain color for the stairs. It was absolutely not even close to what we chose or what the sample looked like. But it actually was what I called a happy mistake. Mm-hmm. It worked out, and it was something that I had no objection to whatsoever. It was what I call, again, a happy mistake. And sometimes that happens. So if you leave yourself open to that flexibility and you understand that there's no real genius in perfection, sometimes things can work out. So I do want to mention that when you talk about that.
Well, it's too bad all of our mistakes couldn't be happy mistakes, right?
No, they're not always correct. Happy mistakes. Yeah. Sometimes they're just mistakes.
I think some people are worry that that interior designer is going to push their style on the homeowner versus and you know, maybe now you get into a situation where the interior designer is saying, "Oh, you should this is what you need," and then you're not really pleased with that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. It's a designer's job to define what's right for her client or his client. It's the client's job to be a part of that process. I've had more than one occasion, many, many, many occasions, where I have made a suggestion to a client that they have said, "No, I don't like that. I don't like that." And I have said, "The decision is yours, but it's a great choice, and you really ought, you know, I really feel very strongly about that. Again, it's your choice." Most of the time what happens is if the client chooses to follow through on the suggestion, they are brokenhearted when it's worn out and it has to be changed. Mm-hmm. So my job is to promote what I believe in, give my clients a choice. Sometimes clients don't make the right choices for themselves. It's my job to say, you know, if you want to do that, you can do that. But it's my advice not to. Again, in the final analysis,
that takes a lot of courage to do that sometimes, I bet.
Well, I'll tell you what I tell my clients. When it comes to the final analysis, if they absolutely are adamant to do something that I feel is wrong, sadly, I say to them, you know, you can do that if you want to. Once it's done, just please don't tell anybody that I had anything to do with it.
Right, I understand. What about working with a client's existing furnishings and things like that? I think sometimes people feel like, oh, they're going to make me want to buy all new stuff from my house rather than, you know, I've got this heirloom that I inherited from my grandmother or something, and they're not going to be able to work that into the plan?
Well, I have tremendous respect for the design sensibilities that have come before me. Not every client wants to start over with a new slate. A lot of times it's a second home. They're moving from one part of the country to another. They don't bring furnishings with them. They really, really do want to start over, and that's great. But most of the time, clients have sentimental things and treasures and things that they've brought with them, and for a designer to come in and suggest that they start all over is not serving the client best. A new look is always possible with old things. Mm-hmm. It takes a bit of finesse and nuance, and as all design projects do. But suggesting that people throw away things that have great merit, have sentimental value, that are perfectly workable into a new scheme is, I think, the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. The building a house or a remodeling project, it can be very overwhelming for a homeowner. How would an interior designer help that alleviate that overwhelming feeling?
Well, everything has to be considered. Everything old, everything new. It's a complex process because you consider so many things, old, new, whatever. But in the end, it's always a simple solution. Design elements are a simple solution. Using less, not more. You know, one of my, the things that I find is really has great merit in design is bigger is always better, less is always more. If you want a cluttered surrounding, and if you have lots of things, you need organization. If you want a clean look, you need to pare down and synthesize. And so it's all directed, again, by that feeling that you want to create, you know, how that lifestyle works, what's important to you. Some people don't like a lot of things around them. Others can't survive without their books and their mementos. And so it's all very, it's very personal directive.
Mm-hmm. Well, avoiding mistakes, I think, is the number one reason to work with an interior designer. And I'll just tell you a quick story. My aunt and uncle, they remodeled their kitchen, and they didn't change the footprint of the kitchen, had new countertops and new cabinets. She always wanted an island, and so she bought an island online. It turned out to be way too big for the space, but you know, it comes in a box. My uncle spent all this time putting it together, and darn it, it cost a couple $1,000s. They were going to live with it. And when she showed me the kitchen, there was that claustrophobic feeling. There was, you know, less than 2 feet that between the countertop and the island to kind of maneuver around. And it was one of those things that I'm sure an interior designer would say, no, you there's just not room, and you either need a smaller island or no island at all, or better yet, maybe we could have addressed this earlier on before the countertops and the cabinets went in.
Absolutely. Spatial relationships are really, really, really important, and the average person doesn't understand them, simply because we all have our various talents. I can't sit down and code a computer. A computer coder can't do what I do. You know, we all have our individual talents. We work on them. We hone them. We have experience in them, and trying to do it on your own is... not everybody has a talent for it.
Right.
And so.
Well, how can folks get more information about Judy Bistany Interior Design?
They can go to my website, judybistanyinteriordesign.com. They can do a Google search for Judy Bistany. They can read my book that they'll find online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Etsy. The little book of big things you always need to consider when doing interior design, how to get it right the first time and every time. It's an easier search if you just search Judy Bistany at Amazon. It's right now, it's an ebook. It's an easy download, a short, informative manual, interior design manual. That's and again, they can reach me through my website.
And Bistany is Bistany.
That's exactly right.
Bistany. Okay. We have been talking with interior designer Judy Bistany with Judy Bistany Interior Design. Thanks, Judy. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And today's radio show is being hosted by interior designer Judy Bistany with Judy Bistany Interior Design. And now we're talking with Naomi Addison with Affinity Integrated Solutions. How are you, Naomi?
I'm great, Tim. Thank you.
Sure. Take a moment, Naomi, and tell everyone about Affinity Integrated Solutions.
Okay. Affinity Integrated Solutions, we're in the top 5 in the nation for authorized ADT dealers. We're actually your local authorized ADT retailer here in our area. Our motto is to provide, protect, and repeat, meaning that every homeowner that we come across in the field or daily, we treat you as though it was the very first time that we've had contact with you. We do very good follow-up, and we make sure that we're always repeating excellent service.
Excellent. Okay. Well, when it comes to home security, what should everyone know as far as that goes?
Okay, definitely. That ADT in general has a new system out. It's actually called ADT Command. You've actually got geofencing capability with that.
What's geofencing?
Actually, you can actually set a perimeter around your house to where it actually checks you in, basically Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually set up settings specific for your home, so you can have it set to when you leave out of your house, it can give you a reminder, shoot you a reminder that you didn't arm your system. That way, it keeps you on top of all those things because your security system is only as good as the person using it. So mm-hmm. you got to make sure that you're using it. Also, it can set settings for thermostats, door locks, and lighting.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And as far as when you arrive home, the system knows that you're arriving. Does it deactivate the system, or do you have to manually do that in the keypad?
No, it can actually be set to deactivate your system. It can actually set that within a certain number of feet away from the house, because you would still have to actually put in your code. That way, if somebody got a hold of your phone, you know, they're not able to access your home. But the system is actually set also to turn on a light when you walk in, so you're not walking into a dark entryway and things like that. So added security.
Mm-hmm. Not every home invasion makes the news. There's a lot of things that are going on that people just aren't really aware of what's happening in different neighborhoods. One of our employees here recently called me and said, there's been a break-in at my house. The security system alerted the police, and the police want me to come home right now. And the next day I talked to her, and they said that they had smashed through a window and then went inside. They avoided some of the cameras that they had inside, stole money, stole jewelry, some of the kids' games, electronic games and things like that. But that's not something that's going to make the news. But it's happening. What do you say to that?
I can tell you it's happening everywhere. That's a very good question. So things that a homeowner definitely needs to take into consideration is making sure that you have adequate layers of security. So when you're looking at your system that you have in your house now, if you have an existing system, you want to make sure that you've got things protected, like your windows. You want to make sure that you've got window contacts. You know, if not, that you do have a supplemental with a glass break sensor. A motion in the area closest towards your electronics. So if somebody goes through that point, you're going to get a notification and your alarm's going to go off. You also want to make sure that you've got shrubbery cut back, things like that, so you don't have any void areas when it comes down to your camera and surveillance. Mm-hmm. So those are going to be definitely important. And then again, if you have a system, use it. Mm-hmm. You know, a system is not going to help you if you're not actually arming and disarming your system daily. That's going to be very important. And also, your garage door. I would advise a lot of our listeners to make sure that when you have a garage door, you know, that area is also secure. Because a lot of times people are breaking in now. They're coming in through an open garage. They're pushing the garage door back down so you can't see somebody then breaking into the garage door that's leading into the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to be seen. So you want to make sure that if you have the opportunity, which we can provide that for you, to go ahead and add something like a garage door interface where you get notification, even when you're away from home, that somebody has gained access to your garage.
Do you get customers that at Affinity Integrated Solutions that have had a break-in, or if they've had some sort of robbery at their home, and now it's sort of a wake-up call and they say, I need a security system?
Oh, we get that a lot. I mean, typically most homeowners that aren't tied in with Affinity, obviously you don't already have a system, but a lot of people will call us when they have an occurrence. I mean, I think the most important thing that you need to remember as a homeowner is that you have car insurance on your car in the event that you get into an accident. It makes a whole lot of sense to have a security system on your house. That way you have protection there in case you need it.
I bet those people, there is a feeling of regret, like, I wish we had had the security system to begin with, but now that we've had this crime take place against us, we're getting the security system to prevent that from happening again.
Absolutely. And I will say that you don't want to get into a situation where you have buyer's remorse either, because you have to make a jump decision to get a security system because an event occurred. You want to make sure that you're doing your research. Call a local authorized retailer that has a very good reputation in your area, such as ourselves, and make sure that you have things in mind, like what was your reasoning for getting a security system. I do advise a lot of homeowners to make sure that when you're talking about a security system with your loved ones, and it is a family decision, I think, that you're considering what are the most important places in your home to protect. Are you interested in protecting the outside of your home or the inside of your home, or both? And do you also want added protection to also extend to your family members when they're away from home? ADT does have an app called ADT Go that we can also keep family members safe when they're away from home. So it is a good 360-degree protection that basically encompasses family, property, and assets. So I think it's a great thing to have.
Affinity Integrated Solutions, you work directly with ADT, and ADT is a very well-known national brand. What about some of the security companies that maybe they're local, they don't have an affiliation with a national brand like ADT?
Well, the benefits, I get that asked a lot, just because there are people in the communities that may want to work just with a local provider. I think that's the benefit of dealing with a local authorized retailer, is that although we are a branch of a rather large company, you have a lot of local community support. So we're in your area, we can provide technician visits and things like that, and we're able to sit down with you and answer a lot of the questions and make your system a little more encompassing, making sure that we're taking care of everything for you on the spot. Compared to other local providers, I would say that we have a very good reputation, and that we are not internally monitoring your home, so therefore we don't have access to your cameras. You don't have to run the risk of maybe compromising that if you deal with a local provider. Maybe it's not an encrypted system. Maybe you don't have all those benefits for your personal lives to be secure. With ADT, it's an encrypted system. You are the one that has access, and therefore you are the only one that's viewing your cameras, and I think that's very important for a lot of your listeners to take into consideration.
Are the ADT security systems difficult to operate?
Absolutely not. And I think the best thing about this ADT command, I'm so excited about this, is that you've got tutorials that are actually listed on the panel. So you're not going to have a system that you're going to be not well informed on how to use. If you have a question about it, you can simply go to your panel and actually pull up tutorials. They offer the tutorials in French, Spanish, and English. So I think that, actually offers a lot more availability to help people in the area that maybe you don't speak very good English. And if you call a 1-800 number, maybe you're not going to be able to understand how they walk you through the process. So in today's day and age where we're going online to figure out how to do things, you can actually go directly to your panel.
Mm-hmm. So anyone who does not have a security system, don't wait until you're a victim. Your home's been violated. Might as well just get it now, because you just never know. You may feel comfortable because you live in a nice neighborhood. Well, that's maybe just the neighborhood that the criminals are targeting. They may not target a lower income neighborhood. They're looking for jewels and money, and that may be just what they'll find in your house. So you might as well get some protection now rather than you know you would do it if you did get broken into, so you might as well do it now. And how can folks reach you at Affinity Integrated Solutions, Naomi?
You can always call me directly. I'm available any time of day, just for questions, maybe just a free consultation if you're asking questions about an existing system, or maybe you're looking into getting a system. My direct number is 912-777-8891. You can also access our website at www.aisnation.com.
All right, great. We've been talking with Naomi Addison with Affinity Integrated Solutions. Thanks so much, Naomi.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And today's radio show is being hosted by interior designer Judy Bistany of Judy Bistany Interior Design. And now we're talking with Tricia Peterson with Island House Real Estate. How are you, Tricia?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Take a moment, Tricia, and tell everyone about Island House Real Estate.
Yes. So I opened Island House Real Estate in December of 2018. I did real estate for several years, primarily on Daniel Island, and then decided to open my own company in December.
Gotcha. Okay, good deal. Well, what is it about Island House Real Estate that sets you apart from other real estate companies in town?
Right. Yeah. So we were a group of four women that I've known for a long time, and we kind of try to cover a lot of the facets that people need as far as real estate. So we have Lindsay, who is one of our real estate agents, has a 15-year interior design background. So she helps us with staging and interior design, paint colors and things like that that are needed on getting houses ready to list. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie is also a real estate agent with us, and she primarily does marketing and helping us with our marketing needs. Angie and I both live on Daniel Island and specialize in that area as well as other surrounding areas of Daniel Island. And we have about 30 years experience between the four of us of doing real estate. So we're pretty experienced.
Mm-hmm. What should people consider when hiring a real estate agent to represent their property, or even if they're a buyer and they're looking to buy something?
Right, and we get asked that a lot, and really I feel like it comes down to personalities and who you're comfortable with. You know, there's so many real estate agents in Charleston, and we all work together and work very well together, but it's really like whenever you're selling or buying a home, you spend a lot of time with that agent, so it's kind of picking the person that you feel most comfortable with, that you trust, and that you have a good rapport with.
What about real estate agents that are doing it full-time versus part-time?
Right. Yeah, that's tricky. When I started doing real estate, I was doing it part-time. I was a physical therapist for 15 years and started doing real estate, and it's almost impossible to do. There's just no way to do that and to really do the best job for your clients, because my schedule, I know, changes from day to day. I have to be at appointments that I didn't even know were on the calendar 5 minutes ago. So it's just really more of a juggling and scheduling issue that it becomes whenever you're doing it part-time. And I feel like with us, we've really tried to, over the years, we've realized that one of the most difficult parts of selling a home is getting contractors and the people that are needed to get the house ready, either to sell or after an inspection, to meet those timelines. So we've really worked very closely with in-house contractors, interior designers, subcontractors, to make sure when we meet with clients for the first time that everything that they need done, that we've got people that can do that for them, so they're not in a bind trying to get things done.
Right. What's involved with getting a house ready to sell?
Yeah, well, honestly, it's crazy, but every house is so different. One, I might walk in and it's just a matter of really not much at all, just tidying up. Other times, it's too much furniture that we recommend that stuff is pulled out. Sometimes when they pull things out, we actually have to bring in a stager to put some things back in just to kind of appeal to what we think the buyer will be. So every time it's a little bit different. I mean, obviously, sometimes we go into a house and there's painting that needs to be done, or projects a homeowner has started that really hasn't finished. And so it kind of depends on how prepared they were for the move, or if it was a last minute thing that came up that they need to move. And every transaction just seems to be a little bit different as far as that.
Is it a buyer's market right now in Charleston, or a seller's market?
You know, I don't know it's either, really. I think for, you know, the last several years, it's predominantly been a seller's market. I think with the interest rates going up in January, it shifted considerably to, and we've really noticed a lot of the house prices coming down mm-hmm. because of people were not buying as much through January through March. I know, like, especially on Daniel Allen, the sales had been down considerably because of those interest rates. Now that they're down again, now they're down lower than they have been in 12 months, the market's definitely picking up again, and there's less inventory. But it's still, some houses seem to, you know, sell quickly. It's just, it's a numbers game. It's finding one person for one house. So everything seems to be selling. It's just kind of a matter of time. And
when I've talked to people over the years that have said, I wouldn't mind selling my house, maybe trying to cash in because the market's so strong, but I don't know where to go. Mm. Do you ever get that question?
As far as finding values,
well,
of the home, or?
In other words, if I sell my house today, I might reap
as far as moving.
But where do I go?
Yeah,
and I'm gonna have to pay top dollar on the next house, that kind of thing.
It is the tricky, and I have a lot of clients that are in that situation, primarily empty nesters, which it seems to be the hardest thing for me to find houses for people. There's not a lot of small single story houses in Charleston. So it's really tricky, especially if people that want to downsize, their kids are gone, and they may sell their 5-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot house for $850,000, and then they're looking at buying a 1,500-square-foot cottage-style house for $750,000. So that's definitely the trickiest part, is because the price per square foot on smaller homes is so high. Mm-hmm. It's, unless you're willing to go out in more of the surrounding areas of Charleston, it's hard to find a smaller house mm-hmm. that you feel like you're getting the same value.
What should people be doing that are maybe casually thinking about moving? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not ready to actually put their house up for sale, but they're kind of looking. You know, mm-hmm. they're looking at other homes, and what advice would you give to that person?
As far as if they're thinking about getting ready to,
they're just kind of toying with the idea a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe the two of them have talked about possibly selling. What should they be doing as far as, should they be looking on the internet themselves for houses?
It's always good to look online. Everything that's on the MLS is on the major sites that people find, Zillow and Realtor.com. So it's all accessible to people as far as what's pretty much online now. Mm-hmm. An agent has more up-to-date information typically that they can catch things if something's been contingent or newly active. It doesn't come across immediately on those sites, but the biggest thing I think is to talk to an agent and get an idea of what their house would sell for, what they would need to do, because sometimes people look and they fall in love with a house they want to buy, but they're not ready in the process to even get their house listed, and then sometimes that house that they wanted is gone because they haven't really prepared themselves to sell the house that they have.
Oh, yeah, that's that catch 22, right?
Right, yeah. It's always ideal to sell and, you know, close on that house and buy another house and, you know, close on the same day. But
right.
It's a lot of moving parts, and it's hard to get that always to come to fruition whenever you're trying to close on two simultaneous transactions.
What are a couple listings that Island House Real Estate has these days that you think our listeners would be interested in?
Yeah, so we've got some great listings. Most of our listings right now that aren't under contract are on Daniel Island. We have 1422 Smythe Street, which is on the Wando River. It's a beautiful custom home and professionally interior designed, and it's listed at $3,249,000. We have 310 Lassane Street, which is also on Daniel Island. It faces the Ralston Creek Golf Course, and it's $1,695,000. 206 Ferryman is listed at $1,030,000. And we have several other lower priced options in the $800,000, $700,000, $600,000 on Daniel Island as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you help the homeowners as it relates to getting financing and things like that?
I do. We work closely with several lenders. We have one that we in particularly rely on a lot because he's helped us a lot as far as if he can't do something, he gets us in touch with the right lender because everybody's situations are so different. I work with a lot of physicians in Charleston, and we work with a specific lender that primarily does physician loans. So lenders have their specialties, so we work with several different ones depending on what the best fit for them is.
That's great. Well, how can folks get more information about Island House Real Estate?
Yes, so our website is www.islandhouserealestate.com. My phone number is 843-847-1762. We have an info email address, which is info@islandhouserealestate.com. Mm-hmm. And all social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram.
All right. Very good. Island House Real Estate. Well, we've been talking with real estate agent Tricia Peterson. She's the broker in charge with Island House Real Estate. Thanks so much, Tricia.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is being hosted by interior designer Judy Bistany with Judy Bistany Interior Design. And our next guest is Bob Hyland with Southern Lumber and Millwork. How you doing, Bob?
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Tim?
Great. Bob, take a moment and tell everyone about Southern Lumber and Millwork.
Well, Southern Lumber, we've been established for the last 78 years. We started in 1941 doing custom moldings and trims, obviously, to the local market. We do a ton of stuff downtown, obviously. And we've just grown to today. We're doing probably half of our business is a remodel and the other half is new construction. So we obviously can cover both realms of that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Southern Lumber, you folks just redid your showroom, big showroom remodel, right?
Yeah, we actually are complete finally after been 5 years actually. So thanks to DOT's building a brand new bridge next to us. And so we actually built 7 new buildings. And the last part was this showroom remodel, which we did a $1 million showroom remodel, and it's done.
Fantastic. So we're excited. Congratulations on that. Bob, you're kind of the window and door guy at Southern Lumber and Millwork, but since we are lucky enough to have an interior designer helping to host today's radio show, we thought we would have Judy Bistany kind of ask some questions that from an interior designer's point of view.
Sure, that would be great.
So, Bob, my biggest question to you would be, how do your millwork options work into interior design custom work that you might do for windows and doors, for framing, for ceiling moldings, et cetera, and so forth? And do you have capabilities that are both traditional and contemporary?
Well, you know, at Southern, we're kind of in a unique situation, being that we're actually the only lumber yard in town that actually has a shop. We make all of our own stuff. And so we can pretty much, you know, do standard type stuff or custom stuff. You can bring in a profile that maybe we have, maybe we don't. We can go ahead and do it on a CAD. We have a CNC that we're able to cut everything out of. Talking about moldings and trim, for example, some of your architectural stuff that's kind of, let's say, shaped, it's rounded or curved or whatever. We have the ability to actually go ahead and take pictures of those kind of things in the field and input it into the computer. And with a CNC, it cuts it out. And so pretty much anything we can do, you know, it's interesting because we're a 78-year-old company. Even some of the old moldings and stuff like that you saw downtown, we may still have the knives because we cut our own knives, you know, that we can still replicate that today.
So let me ask you about something that's a little out of the box, and that would be ceiling medallions. Do you do those as well?
Those were something that we make. Those were something that we would actually have to purchase outside.
I see. Okay. So my other question to you would be, as far as more contemporary windows and doors, larger lights, steel-framed casement windows, do you have all of those capabilities? And is that a larger or smaller part of your business, or is it just something that you simply have the capability of doing and it's not a problem for anyone who needs it or wants it?
Well, those type of products we actually don't make, we actually purchase. And so they have really, we're looking at the transition in the market, sort of the last 2 to 3 years has really become very contemporary. A lot of people want the smaller sight lines. They want more glass that they actually see. Of course, we're also in a market. We're on the coast, so we have to meet, you know, code requirements in terms of what passes test and performance. So we actually display contemporary windows and doors. And so people were able to see those kind of things, whether, like you mentioned earlier, about a French-style casement. Yeah, that is available today. I just finished working on a project yesterday that had 48 windows that were 5 feet wide and 10 foot tall for one house. So that's capable of doing those kind of things with impact glass. So those type of things are where we can do all day long. We're seeing more of the iron type works, you know, iron type doors, steel type doors, even some of the windows. We just recently done a job actually over in Kiowa. It was all steel type windows. So we can pretty much do it all.
Well, that is great news. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Well, Bob, we're in hurricane season, and so I wanted to ask you. You just mentioned impact rated windows. Talk about impact rated windows, some of the features, and how they ultimately make a homeowner's life easier.
Well, you know, we've seen the migration of impact windows because of the code to being code compliant, because the code requires that you meet what they call the windborne debris part of the code. Windborne debris says either you have impact rated glass, you have hurricane rated shutters, or you have some type of system that would actually cover that window or that door in the event of, you know, a hurricane. And so impact glass is probably about 70 to 80% of what we sell today, because obviously it's already in the component, whether it's the window or the door, and you basically just leave it alone. You're gone. You could drive off. Instead of a shutter has to be closed, or another application, whatever they're putting over the top, whether it's a screen system or a plywood or whatever, that still has to be installed. Well, guess what? Hurricane comes, and good luck finding somebody to do those kind of things. One of the aspects of impact glass is because we also have to meet energy codes, so they're all insulated. It's not a single pane of glass. So you have, you know, basically in essence, three pieces of glass, but within two of them are actually, two of them actually have a piece of laminate sandwiched in between the two. So that's actually what allows the ability for something, for a projectile to not come through that glass all the way. Because once you penetrate that glass and water gets into that envelope, then, or wind, that's when you start having the uplift and the catastrophic type damage to the home. So that's one aspect of things. One of the things I tell homeowners a lot of times, obviously we're in a hurricane area, but you know, how often do you get these things? Well, one of the added benefits is, let's say you're not having a hurricane. I tell people all the time, you know, guess what? That impact glass is so daggum strong that somebody can't just break into your window. So for safety wise, security wise, it's a great, you know, aspect that you just don't think about, that even if we're not having a hurricane, you've got a pretty phenomenal window that you don't have to worry about somebody breaking in. Another aspect of it, I was just at a client's house this morning, and I did that window package. It was actually a remodel job, and he put all impact windows in. He said, Bob, it's just amazing how quiet my house now is. Well, that laminate actually acts as a sound absorption material. So therefore the house is a lot quieter on the inside. I just did a project last year over in Daniel Island. We were placing a condo project, 900 windows. And I can't tell you homeowner after homeowner that I went to and I met them. And that was a remark that almost everybody was saying, I can't believe how quiet these things are. Mm-hmm. So that's a great aspect of impact glass. So obviously it's an insurance break that you're actually, you know, creating an impact so that insurance doesn't have to worry about something getting in that house and causing that type of damage, but you have the added benefits for security and for sound.
Right, right. With impact rated windows, they're up 24 hours a day. And you're right. They do have that added security. If somebody wanted to break that window, you're going to have to use an axe, and you're going to have to, you know, chop at that window several swings to before you can penetrate that glass. And so you're right, if you're out of town or something like that, you don't have to, you've got that peace of mind not to worry about your house getting broken into. And then of course, when 3 years in a row we've had evacuation warnings and things like that. And I remember this past fall, you know, we're watching the Weather Channel all the time, and my daughters and my wife are getting nervous and we're talking about evacuating. And I said, they're not talking to us. We've got impact rated windows. They're talking to the people who maybe don't live in a decent house, don't have impact rated windows, and they're the ones that have to evacuate or should evacuate. And that's that peace of mind, that security comfort that you get with having impact rated windows.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I did a house over in Isle of Palms years ago, and we had a storm come up the coast. And the owner called me and said, "Hey, do you think I'll be okay?" I said, "I'll go stay in your house. It's not going anywhere at all." You right. know, so yeah, that added security, that peace of mind, knowing that, you know, golly, what are you going to do? And what people are paying, for example, to, you know, that don't have impact glass to cover those openings, you know, you got to pay somebody to put it up. Then you got to pay somebody to put it down, take it back down, you know. And let's say you didn't have something, you know, like we've had situations where, yeah, we get the warning and we prepare for it and then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, you just paid a bunch of money. You know, whereas if you had impact glass, you're not paying at all.
Right. I saw some houses last fall. They decided just to keep the plywood up, and you know, they live in a cave basically for the entire fall. So is it twice as much as regular windows for impact rated windows, or is it 25% more or 50% more?
Yeah, generally on windows, you can good rule of thumb is to double it.
Double
it. Doors don't double in price, but windows generally do.
Okay. So. And what brands does Southern Lumber and Millwork?
Well, the two primary brands that we sell on cladded products is Anderson and Marvin. So those are the two we do. And then we have a vinyl window line also that we do, and that's a company called Viwinco that we sell, you know, their product as well, and they have impact, you know, solutions as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, what else can we talk to the public about Southern Lumber? Obviously, if they've not been in to visit Southern Lumber and Millwork in a while, definitely want to check out the brand new showroom.
Well, you're right, and a lot of times we tell people if you're doing a remodel project or a new construction type project. Obviously, we have sales staff and we all travel, you know, so it's good to prepare by going ahead and calling ahead and making an appointment so somebody's prepared for you and has that dedicated time. Your experience is a whole lot better on that end instead of just, you know, popping in, for example, because we're not always available that way because, again, we travel. And so, and again, you've got a project that's very important to you. It's also important to us. So we want to make sure that we're prepared ahead and, you know, can do that. So I would highly encourage that part of it. We have products on display. As Judy talked about earlier, you know, all the products we have on display also have trim around those, you know, trim that we actually made. So you're able to see basically, you know, Southern provides from the ground up, you know, these materials, whether it's interior products, exterior products, you know, we have all that. So siding, for example, that people, you know, we show fiber cement products, we show shakes and trim boards and those kind of things as well. They all go in that envelope of that house that you're preparing for, whether it's a remodel or whether it's a new construction application.
Good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Southern Lumber and Millwork?
Well, actually, we're, you know, very involved, obviously, with social network. So we're doing Facebook, we're doing Instagram. Obviously, they can go on our website, you know, at southernlumber.com, or they can call our numbers 843-744-6281 and set up an appointment.
All right. And your physical location?
We're at 2031 King Street.
King Street. All right. Very good. Well, we've been talking with Bob Hyland with Southern Lumber and Millwork. Thanks, Bob.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Talking about a home, talking about a home, talking about me and you, things we'll do, I said a home, talking about a home, not talking about a one night stand, I want to be your man, I said a home, yeah, I'm talking about a wedding ring and the whole damn thing, I said a home, talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.